Basketball is for some people, but not everyone, obviously. But it is a time of year when we do start new beginnings, and that is our focus with the sermon series. Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians, which I think is one of Paul's most personal letters. And one of the things that stands out in 2 Corinthians is that Paul uses this letter to defend his own apostleship and ministry. Now, apparently, Paul had revisited Corinth after writing his first letter. And during that visit, it seems that there were a bunch of insults exchanged between the church and Paul. And that prompted Paul to write a tearful letter to the community, defending his status as an apostle. And this letter was evidently delivered by Titus, who then returned to Paul, bearing the news that the church had finally agreed to submit to his authority. Paul was relieved of this news, and he decided to write another letter to the church. Now, if you're keeping track here, there are more than two letters that Paul has written, but we only have two letters in our Bibles. Now, scholars have suggested that parts of Paul's first two letters were combined into what we have as 1 Corinthians. And then part of the third letter and a fourth letter were combined to make 2 Corinthians. That's probably as clear as mud this morning, but wanted you to be aware that there were multiple letters that Paul had written to the people in Corinth. And in the letter that we're looking at today, in the passage specifically that we're looking at, we see that Paul defends his ministry. And one part that he talks about the most in this passage is his ministry of reconciliation. Now, in this passage, Paul is speaking of the transformation of the old to the new that happens because of God through Christ. And in this passage, we can really divide it up into three parts. Verses 16 and 17 speak of this new creation. Verses 17 and 18 speak of the reconciliation that has brought forth this new creation. And then verses 20 and 21 reveal the resulting ministry that this reconciliation demands from us. So, just wanted to give you a little bit of background on this passage. Let's now listen to our scripture passage. It comes from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I'll read verses 16 through 21. And this is what Paul writes. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." God, we pray that you will speak to each of us today. Use the words that I offer to speak to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, may we all be drawn closer to you today. Guide us in this time. Amen. It's time to renew. You've probably seen those words stamped across envelopes that you get in the mail. I got one of these letters in the mail not too long ago, and I think it's the type of junk mail that we get periodically. You know, when the warranty on your car runs out, the dealer will send you a great deal on extending that warranty. And when your favorite magazine subscription is about to expire, the publisher wants you to have the opportunity to sign up again. See, businesses are always looking for customers who are ready to begin again. Now, new beginnings are an integral and regular part of life. When the calendar flips from December to January, we have the opportunity to begin something new. It's a time for renewal. It's a chance for us to have a fresh start. Of course, we don't know what the new year will bring, but the possibilities really are limitless. And that's why so many people make resolutions and set new goals for themselves. They want a taste of new life. Now, I suggest that we begin this new year with a what-if attitude. What if we live this year as if all of our hopes and dreams were going to come true? What if we approach this year with the expectation that we will find renewal, that we will experience life in a whole new and exciting way? Now, I believe this is more than an exercise in pipe dreams, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is about fresh starts. It's about beginning again and finding new life, which is why we can put last year behind us and walk into the freshness of tomorrow. And that's the good news that I want to share with you this morning. Now, when talking about new beginnings, I think it's important that we put this into perspective, because this is certainly not confined to the beginning of a new calendar year. Every day is a new beginning. Every Sunday in worship is an opportunity to discover a fresh start with our faith. I think one of the reasons we come to worship is so that we can get right with God and to find forgiveness. And through our worship, we're reminded that the grace of Jesus Christ brings new life and new possibilities. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of a newness of life that comes with following Christ. Now, he writes of this in verse 17, where he says, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." Now, we're being renewed because we are reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. We're forgiven of our sins. We're being transformed and made alive in new ways. Now, I think we sometimes have a hard time believing this because we don't always feel transformed. We don't always feel like a new creation. Plus, when we look around at the world today, we see so much trouble and brokenness, and we wonder how on earth God is making a new creation. It can be hard to believe that change and transformation are underway. And yet, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God's kingdom has been inaugurated. And that means the old is passing away in favor of a bright and better future. Now, I hope we can all hear this good news and know that God is creating new possibilities for each of us. Today is a new day. It's a new year. It's the first day of the rest of our lives. And we can make the most of every day by receiving the grace of God. Through this grace, God is changing and transforming us. And this is what God does for us. I want to invite you to think about those moments in Jesus' life when he was confronted with people who seemed to be at a dead end. These are people who really didn't see much of a future for themselves. Some of them were ready to give up on life, and yet Jesus turned their lives around. Take Bartimaeus as an example. Bartimaeus was sitting blind by the side of a road until Jesus ministered to him and restored his sight. He was given a fresh start. He found new life. Or take the woman at the well. She was living with the burden of a past that grew heavier with each passing day. She didn't see much of a future for herself until she was introduced to the living water of God's grace. And so she ran back to her people to tell them that they needed to come and see Jesus, because he had changed her life. She was renewed, restored, and redeemed. She found a new beginning. Now, there are many, many other examples in the scriptures and in life where we see that God's grace has changed, transformed, and renewed people. This grace has given people new life. And this happens because of the forgiveness of Jesus. God releases us from sin and from old ways of living, which then enables us to embrace new possibilities for our lives. Now, we don't have to be the same person that we were when we walked into this room for worship. Now, we can be different people because we believe in a God of grace, a God of second chances, a God of new beginnings. Now, we've seen in Jesus a power that changes people. We've seen in Jesus a love and grace so powerful that it enables us to begin again. Now, it's hard to begin anything new when we feel like we're weighed down by problems, frustrations, and disappointments. And in moments like this, we feel stuck. We don't see a way forward. And certainly, we don't feel like we can begin anything new. But the truth of the matter is that the only way forward is by letting go. When I was a sophomore in college, a couple buddies and I backpacked around Europe for a month. Living out of a backpack for that long is not easy. It's pretty hard. Every day I had to lug around this heavy sack full with clothes, toiletries, a towel, a couple books, and food. Every inch of it was filled with something. And when I decided to buy souvenirs, I was faced with a dilemma because there wasn't anything that I wanted to get rid of. But if I bought something, I did need to get rid of something. So one week it was a favorite old t-shirt. Another week it was getting rid of one of my books. I decided to keep the deodorant for my friend's sake. That was one thing I wasn't going to let go of, but I had to get rid of something. Now, that caused an internal conflict for me because I liked everything that I have. I didn't want to lose any of it. The Apostle Paul says that a life of sin is a life that's in conflict with God. It's a life that's lived according to a human point of view, or according to the flesh, as it's put in some translations. Now, in other passages, Paul speaks of the flesh as a power that's diametrically opposed to God. In chapter 8 of Romans, Paul says that to live according to the flesh is to have a mind that's hostile to God. It's a life that displeases God. It's a life that needs transformation and renewal. And that can only happen through reconciliation. A New Testament professor at Duke named Richard Hayes has pointed out that the word reconciliation, as it was used in the Greek-speaking world of the first century, was not typically used as a religious word. Instead, it was used most often in the world of politics to refer to a process of resolving problems and disputes. So, for example, ambassadors from two warring nations would meet together and work out a plan to end all the fighting. It was a plan to reconcile their countries with each other. Well, Paul took this word reconciliation and he applied it to matters of faith. He says in verse 18 that God reconciled us to himself through Christ. God works through Christ to repair relationships that are broken by sin so that we can find renewal. In other words, to be reconciled means we're given a fresh start. We have a new beginning. But for this to happen, we have to let go of the old ways of sin in order to find new life with Christ. Now, this word from Paul about reconciliation was a word that the Corinthians really needed to hear because they were a highly polarized and fractured community. They were a community that needed healing and renewal. And I don't think our world is much different. You know, we look at our world today and we see some of the same issues, especially in our country. We live in a highly polarized and divisive country right now. Our country needs healing because there is so much conflict going on. And I think even at the individual level, many of us have our own struggles. And I think many of us struggle with our passion and zeal for God. Now, one moment, we may feel like we're on top of the world with our faith. We feel a deep, deep connection with God. Everything's going right. And then somewhere along the way, something happens. We lose our way or we get tripped up. And we feel like we can't do anything right. And that leaves us feeling distant from God. We need renewal. We need new life. We need a new beginning. Now, these are simply ebbs and flows that come with the journey of faith, and everyone goes through this. We all go through times when we need a fresh start, and we want to start over. And so I think this is the perfect time of year for us to reflect on where we are in our journey of faith, and then to seek ways to strengthen and renew our faith, and to continue living into the transformation that the Holy Spirit seeks to bring into our lives. Now, there are certainly times when we don't feel like a new creation, but we can have hope because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of new beginnings. We have seen what Jesus has done. By his touch, people are healed. By his words, people are redeemed. And by his love, people are empowered to begin again. Now, the grace of Jesus gives each of us the opportunity for a fresh start. So I pray that this grace will be real to each of us this year. And I hope that we will live as if all of our dreams and our hopes will become a reality in 2020. Let's remember that God is creating a new day for each of us. So let's run to it. Let's embrace the renewal that God offers. Welcome the new opportunities that come your way. And be sure that you're grateful for all that's given to you. Be thankful for the new opportunities and the fresh start that God is giving to you. You know, somewhere in heaven, there's a man with the biggest grin on his face. He's so happy because there was a day in the past when he hung on a cross next to another man, and he thought his life was over. All he could do at that moment was say a prayer. It was a simple prayer, a prayer that went something like this: Jesus, remember me. All he had was a prayer. And that was all he needed. He was given a second chance, a new beginning. And if it could happen for him, it can happen for us. Now, it may take time, so I encourage you to be patient with yourself, but open your life to God. Embrace the renewal that the Holy Spirit seeks to bring into your life. I think it is time for a fresh start, and Jesus is here to help you begin again.